Our Heavenly Father, on this first Sunday of Lent, we give you thanks and praise that you loved us enough to send your Son to be born in a manger, to live, to die on Calvary's cross, and to rise again, that we could experience not only life full and free here, but eternal life. Meet with us now and have your way in our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Redeeming Love. Words will be on the screen.
Still standing, I invite you to join with me in the prayer of confession. Savior, you are calling us to your table to celebrate your birth, life, death, and resurrection, and to enjoy your presence, to experience your healing, to have our lives filled to overflowing, to be one with your people of every time and place. To receive your gifts to us of love, joy, and peace. But we dare not come with dirty hands and sin-stained hearts. Only your forgiveness can make us clean. In the hustle and bustle of life, we have pushed you to the edges of our lives as we have become too busy with urgent matters. We have fooled ourselves into believing we don't have time to pray and we are too exhausted to serve. We invent excuses for ignoring the poor and avoiding those who are hurting, hungry, homeless, helpless, and hopeless. Too often we have robbed you by not giving tithes and offerings, which all belong to you. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to do better. Help us to plan our days and our actions according to your will. Open our hearts to the needs of those who cannot pay us back. Forgive us and fill us with the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. May we be your Christmas and Easter people every day. Then we can celebrate this meal with all of the saints of every time and place. Amen. You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to celebrate with the family of God? Oh my.
I kind of have a miracle. We feel like they don't have to anymore. But anybody that has horses know if you get kicked in the face, what happens to you? You're black and blue, maybe your nose broke, your cheekbone broke. And my horse kicked me in the face the other day. Whew. I had, like some you can tell that I have a purple spot right here. Where my lip, whatever, hit my sleeve. But other than that, that horse did not knock me down. And one big thing, I didn't cry. So I went to the barn and I got my whip and I come back and took away his sleeve and went to the back. He's scared to get there, you know. But I mean, that is a miracle. I mean, I feel the full blast. Maybe I want me back far enough to get the extension of it. But I did get his whole foot in my face and nothing turned blue.
Ouch.
But that, so I think that is a miracle.
So now you know who not to mess with. Thank you. Yes, miracles do happen.
Pastor, there was a note in the office for us to remember Bill Fulks. Some of you all may remember him as Helen Fulks' son. Mm-hmm. He is in the hospital at Oak Ridge, and I'm sorry, but I left my note in there, and it was, I don't remember. I have the room number if anybody's interested in it. What, darling? 463 in Oak Ridge Hospital.
Okay, also, I received an email that Johnny Mann, a retired teacher here in the area, has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and I know that she would appreciate your prayers. Dan is having, okay. If anybody has any details on that, please let me know. Tuesday at Park West. Okay. They did that last time we're supposed to go to Oneida. Okay. It happens. Any other joys and concerns? Okay, and please drive carefully coming back for church on Sundays. I appreciate all of your concerns about Catherine. She's doing better. She's not 100% yet. Last night she indicated she was coming, and then this morning she really felt it'd be better if she didn't, so keep her in your prayers too. Also, Friday night, Catherine and I were watching an old Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn movie, and during the course of it, I could feel my lungs stopping up, my head stopping up, and I thought, oh, brother. Middle of the night last night, Katharine said, are you going to church in the morning? Yeah, I think I better. But anyway, I'd appreciate your prayers, too. There's a lot of everything going around. I don't know if it's allergies or cold, but I've got it good. I was outside working all day yesterday, and that very well could have been the pollen working on me too. But we'll see. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, on this beautiful Lord's Day, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, we are so blessed. So often we tend to look at what we don't have that we'd like to have. We look at how we ain't quite what we used to be. We see things that other people have that we think, boy, I wish I had that too. Or things they have that we're glad we don't have. But we pray this morning that you would remind us how blessed we are. Lord, not only are we among the top 5% of the richest people in the world, but we are blessed to be able to live in the United States of America, and even to top that off, to live in East Tennessee. Here we are, Lord, we've almost made it through winter. A little over a couple weeks until the first day of spring. When we're reminded that just as in your creation, Lord, we see how in the winter time everything looks so dead and barren, and then in spring comes and all of a sudden we see new life on every hand. We pray that you would remind us that even as these lives of ours wither and fade, that there's a brand new eternal life waiting for us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you for sending your Son to die on Calvary's cross for us. Thank you for the eternal life that we have beginning right here and right now. We pray today that you'd be with our country. We need your prayers, Lord. We need your help. We need you to be with us all the way from Washington to Hollywood and everywhere in between. We pray that you would help us, that we might determine that we are going to be one nation under God. We'll set the example in our hearts and our lives. Be with our troops, Lord. Watch over them. Keep them safe. Be with their families. Be with all of our leaders, Lord. Local, state, national, world. Guide and direct them. Show them your way, your plan, your purpose. Help us that we might follow you. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings to us. We pray now that you would bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver, bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, probably shouldn't even be trying this, but that's never stopped me before. Jeff Foxworthy said, you may be a redneck if you've ever said... He said, you may be a redneck if you've ever said, hey, you guys, watch this. Well, let's go ahead and give it a try and see what happens. When I first fell in love with Jesus, I gave him all my heart, and I thought I couldn't love him more than I did right at the start. But now I look back over the mountains and the valleys where I've been, and it makes me know that I love him so much more than I did then. And I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. There's a hand that I hold on to through each valley and each trial. And there's a shoulder that I lean upon as I face another mile. And there's a love that I can depend on. It's fresh and new each day. And with love my heart is overflowing. And that is why I say, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. That is what we call duet yourself. Would you stand with me, please, as we read from the gospel? I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but our first hymn was Redeeming Love. Our closing hymn is I Could Never Outlove the Lord. The song you just heard was I Just Keep Falling in Love with Him. There seems to be a theme here, doesn't there? As we enter this first Sunday of Lent, we're going to be talking about experiencing Easter. Today, experiencing Easter with God's love, and what better passage of Scripture than John 3 to highlight this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. There is no judgment awaiting those who trust him. But those who do not trust him have already been judged for not believing in the only Son of God. Their judgment is based on this fact. The light from heaven came into the world, but they loved the darkness more than the light because their actions were evil. They hate the light because they want to sin in the darkness. They stay away from the light for fear their sins will be exposed and they will be punished. But those who do what is right come to the light gladly so everyone can see that they are doing what God wants. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Bennett Cerf, many of you will remember, was an author and talk show panelist. And one night he was on the TV, or the NBC radio broadcast, Conversation. The topic of discussion was, of what are you the most afraid? As the panelists discussed this topic, the conclusion they came to was nuclear annihilation. Cerf had been unusually quiet during that discussion. He finally spoke up and said his greatest fear was not being loved. There's nothing more destructive to the human heart than to live without love. Dr. Smiley Blanton once said, "We love or we perish." If a poll were to be taken regarding one of the best known verses in the Bible, probably right up there at the top would be John 3:16. The verse reminds us that we are loved, and it is God who loves us. Reminds us that God in love seeks us out, values us, and reaches out to save us. It reminds us that when we, in faith, accept God's love, we have eternal life. Someone has said that John 3:16 contains enough of the gospel to save the world. Let's look at this one verse for a minute, John 3:16. Talk about superlatives. In this one verse, we find the greatest lover, God, the greatest motive, because God so loved, the greatest need, the world, not speaking of this sphere, the earth on which we live, but everybody in it, all 7.5 billion of us, the greatest act, he gave his only son. Some translations say he sent his only son. The greatest gift, his only son. The greatest invitation, that whosoever includes everyone in this room, everyone in Roane County, everyone in Tennessee, and everyone to the uttermost parts of the earth. It contains the greatest simplicity, that whosoever believes in him. That's why a lot of people have trouble becoming Christians, because they can't believe it is so simple. In many religions, they have these acts of penitence that you have to do. In some of them, the people flog themselves, whip themselves. In some of them, the people cut and mutilate themselves, thinking they're going to appease their gods. Some of them, they have to climb hundreds of stairs on their knees and all of these things. God requires and requests that we believe in him. The greatest deliverance should not perish. The greatest difference, but, should not perish, but. You know, it's interesting to read through the scriptures. There are several places where this word but marks a major transition. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, who is so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he has raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Jesus Christ. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. You remember over in Genesis chapter 50, you remember that Joseph, who had been sold into slavery by his brothers, was in Egypt. Years later, there was a famine. His brothers heard that there was grain in Egypt, so they came and they talked to the second most powerful man in the Egyptian kingdom, second only to Pharaoh himself. This was a man who had the power to give them or not give them grain. They didn't recognize him. Joseph recognized his brothers. What an opportunity. He had the power. With a snap of his fingers, he could have had them executed. But when he finally revealed himself to them, "Hey guys, it's me, your brother, Joseph." They were ready to panic. Oh my goodness, we're dead meat. Joseph said, "You meant it unto me for evil, but God meant it unto me for good." What a difference God makes. And then the tenth thing we notice in John 3:16 is the greatest possession. That whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. In just 5 weeks from today, we're going to celebrate Palm Sunday together, remembering the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the crowds were ready to accept him as their king. Palm branches were laid in the road and loud hosannas filled the air. The Messiah had arrived. But Jesus was not the military ruler that the crowds had hoped for, that the Jews had anticipated. Jesus came to establish a kingdom based on faith, hope, and love. He spent his final week healing the lame and the sick and the blind and dodging traps set for him by the religious leaders. You remember he had a meal with the disciples and then went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. It was during that time of prayer in the garden and shortly following that one of the disciples betrayed him. Another one of the disciples denied him 3 times. All of the disciples abandoned him. He was arrested as a common thief. He went through the mockery of a trial. Actually, there were 6 different hearings that Jesus went through. Each one failed to prove him guilty of anything. Then after being mocked and beaten, he was nailed to a cross. For God so loved the world. Back in 1965, there was a song that came out that reached number 7 on the charts. The lyrics were written by Hal David and the music was by Burt Bacharach. The song said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of." Now, if these words were true over 50 years ago, how much more so today? Let's look at this love that God offers to you and me today. Let's notice, first of all, the width of God's love. Remember that song that says God's love is so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get around it? Well, imagine having a love that's so inclusive that you could wrap your arms around the entire human race. Let's go back a little further in time to 1958. Do you know the first gospel song that ever reached number one on the pop charts? I bet most of us know that song. It's that one that says, "He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his..." Come on. "He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands." Yeah. All right. There's another song out there that says the same message. It says, "How big is God? How big and wide is vast domain to try to tell these lips could only start? He's big enough to rule the mighty universe, but small enough to live within my heart." Kind of interesting that God would have that kind of a love for us. Martin Luther said one time, "If I were God and these vile people were as disobedient as they now be, I would knock the world to pieces." But not so with God. We run away from God's love, we're rebellious, we doubt and we disobey, but God still loves us. In one of the Peanuts comic strips, Linus and Lucy were into it as usual. And Lucy had indicated that she wanted to become a doctor. Linus said, "Well, you could never be a doctor." Lucy says, "Why not?" He says, "You can't be a doctor because you don't love humankind." Lucy says, "I do too. I love humankind. It's just people that I can't stand." Keith Miller once made the comment that Jesus never went out of his way to help anyone. You have to think about that one. Helping people was not out of the way for Jesus. So often, you know, I got other stuff I need to do, but if I have to. No, we are here to reach out our arms of love. That second thing we might notice this morning is the depth of God's love for you and for me. Now, mind you, when we get to talking about love, we're not talking about eros, which is a sensual kind of love. We're not talking about phileos, another good Greek word, which is a social love. You know, phileos Delphia. Up in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Right. Okay, we're not talking about that. What we are talking about is agape kind of love, which is a sacrificial, self-giving love. Ron Lee Davis wrote a book entitled "Becoming a Whole Person in a Broken World." And in this book, he talks about Marie. Marie was a young woman who was raised in a violent and abusive family. One night when she was 12 years old, her parents had been drinking. They got into an argument. The argument became a fight. Eventually, in the process, a gun was brought out. And Marie, who was huddled in a corner in fear, heard the gun go off and saw her father fall dead to the floor. Her mind snapped. She was admitted to a mental hospital. She was violently aggressive toward anyone who came near her. She was placed in a padded cell. After all other treatment options had been exhausted, the medical staff decided that there was only one other option available. They would try a therapy called catharsis. Now, in this, the patient would have the opportunity to vent all of her anger and frustration. The staff member elected to receive this venting was a nurse named Hulda. Every day, Hulda would enter Marie's cell. And usually for about an hour, Marie would hit, kick, scratch, and scream until she was finally exhausted. Then she would crouch in a corner like a wounded animal. A battered and bruised and sometimes bleeding Hulda would then hold Marie tenderly in her arms, repeating over and over and over again, "Marie, I love you." Little by little, Marie got better. And then she was finally able to share tears and affection. Finally, she was well. She had again become a whole person, healed by sacrificial love. This is just a small picture of what God has done for you and me. In the book of Isaiah, we read, "But he was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped, and we were healed." Finally, number three, notice the not only the width and depth of God's love, but the power of God's love. Walter Wangeren, in one of his books, tells about an experience that he had with his 7-year-old son, Matthew. Matthew stole some comic books from the library. When his dad found out about it, Dad and the librarian and Matthew met together. And they talked to him about how wrong it was to steal. A short while later, he stole some comic books from a gift shop. Again, his dad sat him down and had a talk with him about how wrong that was. And then Matthew stole some comic books from a drugstore. Well, Walter told him, he said, "Son, you know I have never spanked you, but I think we've come to the point now where in order to impress upon you how wrong this is, that's about the only option we have left." After spanking his son, he said, "Now I want you to sit here for a few moments." Dad went in the bedroom and closed the door and cried like a baby. Later, after he composed himself, he went back out to talk with his son. Years later, the son was having a conversation with his mother, and the comic book incidents came up. Matthew said, "Mom, since that day, I have never stolen anything, and I never will." His mother asked him if it was the spanking that gave him the change of heart. He said, "No, it wasn't. It was when I heard Dad crying that I realized how much he loved me and how much I had hurt him. And I could never do that again." The love of the father was strong enough to change a boy's life. To have this kind of love in our hearts, we must believe. The Greek word for believe is pisteo, and its full meaning is being faithful, believing, and obedient. In other words, we believe God, we believe in God and God's love so much that we commit our heart, soul, and life to God. Then we can have the greatest promise and gift that this world has ever known. It all comes down to this. You know it. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Heavenly Father, on this first Sunday of Lent, we pray that you would prepare us for the celebration of Easter by showing us anew and afresh your love and helping us that we might reach out and share that unconditionally with others. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to join with me now in the great Thanksgiving. Do we have that on the screen? We do. Yes, we do. Okay. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life when we turned away and our love failed. Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The prayers of confession that we prayed, if these are the prayers of your heart, you're invited to come to the table. It is set for you. You don't have to be a member of Rockwood United Methodist Church, though you probably ought to be. You don't have to be United Methodist. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you accept God's love and forgiveness in your heart, you're invited to come. If anyone needs to be served at their seat, we will be more than happy to accommodate that as soon as all the others have been served. I'd like to ask for the choir to come down first, please. Servers, if you would come.